This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome back Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Here's a shoebox full of letters bound up neatly with some twine. Each one was like a diamond, now the jewel is lost to time. My reward is in the north, that I held it in my hands for a little while. What else are there but the treasures in your heart? Something tamed, something wild. For every time that I've been foolish, when I'd wish that I'd been wise, the power of regret still gets me right between the eyes. And sometimes I want to weep, nothing but the tears of a little child. What else is there but the lessons in your heart? Something tame, something wild. Here's a map I've memorized of everywhere I've ever been, and the faces of everyone I've loved and left to try again. I couldn't make out what they were saying, so instead I listened hard to what's inside. What else is there but the voice inside your heart? Something tamed, something wild. Some nights I'm woken up by something stirring in my chest. It's a feeling I've no name for. It's hard to catch my breath. I'm staring down the great big lonesome as I'm listening for the dwindling of time. What else are there but the echoes in your heart? Something tame, something wild. So the things that matter to me now are different from the past. Care less about arriving than just being in the path of sunlight carved out of nothing, the way it feels when the universe has smiled. What else is there but the beating of your heart? Something tame, something wild. Here's the shoebox full of letters, here's the map I won't forget. Voices and the lessons and the signals that connect us, manifested to the spirit, way deep down where it goes unseen by the eye. What else is there but the love inside your heart? To a life like a fireworks to a spark, over and above you in its arc, something tame, something wild.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm very pleased to be welcoming back and speaking by phone with Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Hi.
Hi. It's great to have a chance to talk shop with you again. As we were saying before the interview started, this is the second time we have had the chance to have you on the program, the first time going back a few years ago, doing a backstage interview in Butte, Montana. So very, very pleased to have you on the show again. And obviously, we're going to talk all things music. But before we do that, more importantly, I couldn't help noticing on your Facebook page that you have a new dog. Let's talk about that. I know that I know they have a higher, status in your life than with some people.
Well, love me, love my dog. It's our mantra, his name is Teddy, mm-hmm. and he's a little rescue, and he's absolutely edible. He's the cutest thing you have ever seen, and a wonderful, wonderful addition to my family, and I'm so lucky that he came to my home.
Well, congratulations to both you and Teddy.
Thank you.
Now, will he join in on, as I recall from our last conversation, you mentioned the practice of song walking, and that sometimes dogs are involved in this. Would he be welcome on this?
They tend to lead the way, actually.
Uh-huh.
You know, speaking of social media, anybody who checks in on my pages will often see me posting, you know, pictures of my dog walking ahead of me, and that's invariably my favorite time of day.
Mm-hmm.
And song walking is something that, of course, I love to do. It's just another word for, you know, taking a walk and kind of riffing out loud, singing along to what I've been working on that day or in the recent past, and the dogs go with me. And Teddy, our newest addition, has picked it right up.
Oh, really?
He follows my older dog just perfectly.
Oh, that's wonderful. And as I think I told you last time, this will endear you to Montana listeners even more.
Well, I was just going to say that this is now my favorite music program of all time because we're talking about dogs, in addition to music.
Well, hey, I mean, that's a pretty good combination, dogs and music. I mean, that's
there you
that's,
go. It doesn't get much better than that.
No, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Chapin, I, of course, want to talk about the most recent recording, The Things That We Are Made Of. And I wanted to start with that title. It's such a beautiful, evocative title. And I wondered how that plays in with the material. In other words, are there times when you come up with a title like that and then that helps guide the course of the songs, or is it more a matter of the other way around, that the songs themselves maybe, you know, inspire the title, or maybe is it just a juxtaposition of two different things?
You know, I feel as if it's a mixture of all of those things at different times. And by that I mean that certainly a phrase, a lyric, even just a word can inspire an entire song.
Mm.
And then in turn that song can lead thematically to another song, and on and on it can go. In the case of The Things That We Are Made Of, I started writing the songs for this album about 4 years ago, a little bit longer than that. The way I write songs and put records together, it's pretty basic in the sense that I just write and I write and I write and I write. I finished that song, actually, The Things That We Are Made Of, and I sort of pushed back from my kitchen table where I like to write, and I just felt like, I think I'm done.
Mm.
And it was the last song I wrote for the record, and I didn't know in that moment that it would be the title song, but it certainly felt like it was summed up so many things.
Hmm.
And it was almost instinct more than anything else that just made me feel like I had reached the end of the writing process.
I remember driving down the rutted roads late at night, following the summer moon, bright as any pair of headlights. I felt the air on my face, and the night pressed inside my palm. A moment captured in a place, this memory stays strong. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. The things that we are made of. And I remember feeling I'm alive and in no saviors. If the past's another country, I'm at the border with my papers. Where is your heart if not inside you? Where is home or are you lost? Where is love if not beside you? I had no answers, but they let me cross. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. The things that we are made of. Like the silence of my shadow. When the twilight world is calling. The loneliness that knows me. By the cadence of my walking, the scar upon my elbow, the sound of my own breathing, my reflection in a window, and the way I'm always leaving.
Mary Chapin, if I'm not mistaken, working with Dave Cobb as a producer, was that the first time you've worked with him?
Yes, definitely. Okay. It was a wonderful experience. I was thrilled that he wanted to get together and do an album. And it was a new page that I was turning for myself. I had made the last three or four records, I believe, with the same group of musicians and producer. I think everybody understands that at a certain point in time, you just feel like you're ready to try something new. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're dismissing or rejecting everything you've done up to that point, but just a desire to challenge yourself. And in the case of working with Dave, I mean, I really felt utterly comfortable with him the first time I met him, but it still can be terrifying to work with someone new. But I was kind of seeking that terror. I had made a record a few years ago. It was an orchestral record called Songs from the Movie. That was the experience that not only taught me, but just instilled in me this enormous desire to just frighten myself and put myself in unfamiliar situations as much as possible, because I just feel like that yields so many new discoveries about yourself and about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And the rewards are just unbelievable when you do that, even though at the time you're wondering, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Right. Now, was part of that the part of what he was trying to do with you in terms of working with you with the vocals was to really capture the performance and in the process of the recording, and not to maybe, I think it was your own word saying you kind of tend to obsess on, which a lot of singers do, you know, when they're in the studio situation, there's so many things that you can do and go
and,
in.
I mean, not only as a singer, but I'm the songwriter as well.
Right,
and,
sure.
I'm the composer, and these are my songs. And so it's not just about technically turning in a great, a vocal that I'm proud of, but everything about it has to be right. You know, I don't apologize for wanting to have that complete satisfaction.
Sure.
That said, Dave is all about the performance, and he believes, and I understand this, you can do a take, and it maybe somebody's rushing it, or maybe I'm singing slightly off pitch, or maybe my guitar is lagging or something. But somehow, if the performance in and of itself, is sort of undeniable, that's the one he wants to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And those imperfections, shall we say, just give it a little character.
Yeah.
And I definitely subscribe to the Church of Dave Cobb in that regard.
Across the railroad tracks, down the gravel road, at lights throwing beam on the way back. Lie down, listen wide awake to the trains that roll, to the sound time makes. It passes through the air like a summer storm. Can catching on my sleeve like a rose's thorn. Sometimes it whispers, sometimes it roars, flies like the wind, waits by the door. And I know you know, and that's all I need. When the light of day looks like night to me, when you're far away and I'm all alone, can't explain, I know. Up my chest, it fills up my eyes like an old glass jar filled with fireflies. Sometimes I'm still, sometimes I sigh, sometimes I'm lost and I don't know why. But I know you know, and that's all I need. When the light of day looks like night to me, when you're far away and I'm all alone, I can't explain, I know.
Mary Chapin, you mentioned just a second ago songs from the movie, and I definitely wanted to touch on this because I kind of rediscovered that album going back and doing some research for this interview. I loved hearing your tunes in an orchestral setting. That must have been an amazing experience that first time you heard an orchestra playing your songs.
Oh, it was so emotional, to be quite honest. We went over to London to Air Studio, Sir George Martin's beautiful space in Hampstead. And, you know, the very first time I heard the players play a passage, I was just in the control room. I just started weeping because it was so evocative to me. Let's face it, a lot of artists, they'll slap a string passage, you know, a string section onto a new recording of a song. And other than just it being sort of another layer, it doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may sort of evoke a bit more drama, but this was an utter transformation of these songs. Every time that I get to present that music, and that's the beauty of the project, is that it's not like sort of a regular album that has a window of, oh, I don't know, traditionally, what, 18 months or so, mm-hmm. while we consider it new, that kind of thing. I mean, it's the kind of project you can present this music till the end of your life, as long as an orchestra invites you to come, you know. It doesn't, you know, grow old in that sense.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today by phone with Mary Chapin Carpenter. I didn't ask you earlier, where are you calling from?
From Virginia.
From Virginia. Okay, great. Well, it is great to speak with you again, and I was going to ask you this. If you were to put one of your songs forward to someone who, for whatever reason, had never heard you or never heard your work, and you wanted to communicate to that person, this is what I do, and this is who I am, what song would that be?
That's just about the hardest question in the whole world.
I'm so sorry. We can go back to talking about dogs if you want.
No, it's torture. I mean, it's a torture idea that you'd only have one chance.
I know.
You know, because I feel like, you know, there's as many kinds of songs as there are flavors of ice cream at Baskin-Robbins. You mm-hmm. know, there is. I mean, there's goofy songs, and then there's ultra-serious songs, and then there's happy songs, and there's sad songs, and there's songs that require enormous patience and listening on the part of the listener. And other songs that are slapdash off written. You know, there's just so many different ones. So it feels impossible, but I'm going to try to answer it. A song called I Am a Town.
That is so amazing because that's exactly, I was going to say, if someone were to ask me, okay, John, put forth a song for Mary Chapin Carpenter to say, what song would you, you know, say this kind of defines her? I would have said, I Am a Town.
And the main reason I picked that one is that it pleases me as a writer, you know, it allows me to try to demonstrate my love of detail, but also larger things that hopefully will evoke smaller things, which is to me the joy of songwriting.
Sure.
And also it's about playing in a oddball guitar tuning, which evokes also a certain kind of emotion and color and mood. So all of those things put together it's kind of my favorite kind of song. And it's also kind of bittersweet, melancholy, and I like that too. But for all of that, I also like to play with my rock and roll band and raise the roof. So, you know, and you know, just play the most basic, you know, 1, 2, 3, I love you kind of song. So it's really, that's an impossible question. I reject it.
But you just answered it anyway.
I know.
Town in Caroline, I'm a detour on a ride for a phone call and a sword. I'm a blur from the driver's side. I'm the last gas for an hour. If you're going 25, I am Texaco and tobacco. I am dust you leave behind. I am peaches in September, and corn from a roadside stall. I'm the language of the natives. I'm a cadence and a drum. I'm the pines behind the graveyard and the cool beneath their shade, where the boys have left their beer cans. I am weeds between the graves. My porch is sag and lean with old black men and children. My sleep is filled with dreams. I never can fulfill them. Beside the highway, where the ditches never drain, I'm a Baptist like my dad, and Jesus knows my name. I am memory and stillness. I am lonely in old age. I am not your destination. I am clinging to my ways. I'm an old truck up on cinder blocks, missing all my wheels. I'm Pabst Blue Ribbon, American, and Southern serves the South. I'm tucked behind a JC sign on the rural crowd. I am a town. I am a town. I am a town. Southbound.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today by phone with Mary Chapin Carpenter. Well, Mary Chapin, what are you doing for fun these days? I mean, besides walking the dogs, I know
adopting dogs,
and I remember that you did, in addition to song walking, you were moving into song biking as well.
I do that as well. Yeah. Oh gosh, I don't know. I do a lot of stuff. I love to read a lot. I like to go get my butt kicked at hot power yoga.
Bikram?
I love my cats as well as my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I love to write songs. I've been touring like a maniac for the last, 5 years or so.
I was going to mention that.
And, you know, just seeing the world and, you know, hanging out with my friends. You know, I'm very, very blessed with all the beauty around me. I live in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. It's a very special place, and, you know, but at the same time, I get to come to Montana too. So, you know, life's pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
I
was going to mention to listeners that as we are recording this interview in mid-October of 2016, we're speaking to Mary Chapin about a month after you were here at the Wilma Theater in Missoula. So did you, while you were in the state, did you get a chance to get out at all? Did you do any fishing, any hiking, or?
Well, the day that we were in Missoula was a stunningly gorgeous fall day. And so I spent most of the day outside walking along the river. And then I had one of the best iced coffees I'd ever had at a coffee shop. And I did a little retail, you know, reconnaissance. And our dear friend Rose Cousins was with us that night. She's an incredible singer-songwriter from Canada. She's been on tour with us for most of the year. So
yeah, I'm familiar with
her. We were hanging out with Rose. And so it was just it was the kind of day when you're on the road where you just feel like, oh my God, if they could all be just good days like this in beautiful places with wonderful people, it really was great.
Oh, terrific.
And they're not like that every day. They're not.
The Things That We Are Made Of is the most recent recording from Mary Chapin Carpenter, and MaryChapinCarpenter.com is the name of the website where you can go and find out all things Mary Chapin Carpenter. Thank you so much for making time to speak with us here on Musician Spotlight again. It's been a real treat getting a chance to just visit and talk shop with you again.
Well, John, thank you for taking the time. I loved our conversation, and I hope we can do it in person the next time.
That's a deal.
Okay.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Mary Chapin Carpenter. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, or as well through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online at Facebook and through Twitter. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.